those that have served our country, did it well, and those that paid the ultimate sacrifice of their lives, so that we can enjoy a day like today, we can celebrate. You know, Memorial Day for many people has been something that really just circles around a picnic, going to the lake, having fun, doing something without the historical part of it, which to me is very, very sad. There's nothing more moving in my life than standing in front of the Vietnam Wall Memorial or going to Arlington to see all of the things that were there, watch people. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was incredible. To watch a guard that would change every 30 minutes, nonstop, 24 hours a day, that would simply walk 21 steps in front, turn and face the tomb for 21 seconds, repeat the same process to the other end, 21 steps. As it is, the most memorable part about that is in honor of the greatest salute that can be given to any military dignitary or national dignitary, a 21-gun salute. So it is an incredible thing that God has allowed our nation to be something that has been an inspiration to many. And I think because of that inspiration, we are hated by many. They wish they had the freedom. They wish they could make the choices that we are privileged to do. We get a vote. We get a say. We get to do those things. And I really think that's a very much needed part of our lives. Our ability, God's free will for us, even though He is a sovereign God, He allows poor little old me to make a choice. And I praise Him for that. And I choose today to praise Him for our remembrance of Memorial Day in America and for those that have sacrificed so much to keep our nation free. So this morning, I would like to speak to you this morning about stopping to remember. We're going to be going to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. But before I get to that, I just recall through my life the walking. I've walked through life and but I've learned lessons of history as I made that journey. It's hard to imagine. I was just sharing with Pauline and Doug back here, our guests today, that, I look into the mirror and I'm going to go, I don't know that old guy. Then I put my glasses on and I was even more scared. But it becomes more apparent to me every day that we're forgetting. We're forgetting the lessons. And then I run into people all the time that have severed themselves completely from the history of our nation. They ignore past truths to write what they say has taken place. They didn't live it, and they certainly didn't give to it. But they feel qualified to do that. They have missed the fact that we have been given an opportunity to accumulate wisdom. Yeah, and I mean wisdom. And that wisdom many times comes by the school of hard knocks. It comes through human experience. It comes through getting the opportunity to serve our country, to do things that not many places give you a vote on. I think we have watched our nation, especially in the last couple years, slipping towards anarchy. And we do things, we ride in the streets, we destroy people's properties, we shoot people, we do all these things. It's what to do, to express freedom. Think of all the years, the many hundreds of years, we've expressed freedom without doing any of those things, without saying or doing the things that were lawless. But I'm not here to just talk about the world. I'm here to talk about us. I'm here to talk about God's people, because so many times God's people, well, they just sometimes suffer from what I call spiritual amnesia. We forget who it is that gave us what we have today. We forget that God has been blessing us, watching over us, keeping us, allowing us to be who we are. The psalmist didn't forget in the 78th division of the Psalms of verse 11. They forgot what he had done and the wonders he had shown them. You see, God expects his people to remember. They need to remember his mighty acts. And he did those great things for the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's just a couple pages back. If you found Joshua already, turn back about, maybe 10 pages. You'll get back here to where I am today. I am in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. He says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people." You got that? "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." God put an emphasis upon his people. And on his people, he expected them to put emphasis back on him. But how easy it is to forget the significant things of life. We get wrapped up in all the other things that take place. The clamor of the immediate is always demanding my attention, that I forget that today would be a day to honor those that have done so much for us. It's the same thing that happened to the children of Israel. It happens to us. Even those that are most well-mentioned, people that want to do the right thing, we don't want to forget the sacrifice. We don't want to forget any of those things. We want to remember God in all these things. But because we suffer, as most humans do, we forget. We forget so many times, and the attack is put upon us that we don't get it. We miss it. And what does it create for us? It creates spiritual amnesia. That's what it does to me, at least. It's that inconvenience of the moment. The moment that I am wrapped up in at that time, and where is the Lord at that point? Am I giving him glory? Am I doing those things? No, probably not. I'm out there enjoying myself. I'm doing this or doing that. Not because I hate God. Not because I'm disappointed in God. Not because God's not providing everything. I just get wrapped up in the moment. How about the pressure of the practical? Got a job, don't you? Got to go do that job, don't you? Well, I don't have time for this. I've got to make that. I'm trying to get ahead so my family can have something better. You know, I recall there was a day that when people basically in all of America were dirt poor, except for a few fat cats, but they got along great. Did they have what we have? No. But they had each other. They bound themselves together to praise God all the time, to give him the praise that was due his name. And then there's the other call that comes our way. It's the call of the future. All of us living for the next day. What's going to happen tomorrow? Hey, can't wait till next week. And I'm just as guilty as anybody on that. Like to see what's going to take place. Look to the future. Enjoy that part of it. But I know this, that all of those things can rob us of the most important thing. And that is the love that God has for us. You see, God wants his people to remember. And we are to do that appropriately. And we're to do it meaningfully. Because that's what God requires. He wants us to turn our thoughts and our attention towards him. And I want to do that this morning. So I'm asking you to pause with me, to stop with me, if you will, to remember. To remember all the great things that God has done. You know, the first thing is this. God prescribes the way that we ought to remember. You know, many of us say, well, I know what I'm going to do. Is that what God does? Are you following God's way of remembrance? Or are you following your own direction of remembrance? Well, I'm unique. You're like everybody else. We all think we're special. We all think we... And I'll have you know this morning I'm peachy. But God's people ought to remember. They ought to remember inclusively first. That's what we are to do. To remember together. All of us. Not just part of us. Not just the old ones. And not just the young ones, every one of them. In Joshua chapter 4, that is my text, and we're moving into that chapter, and if you'll keep your Bibles open to that, it will not be in front of you today, but it will be something that I'm going to be looking at the entire chapter, so you might want to get there, because if you don't get there quick, we'll be here for 2 hours. I figure I'd get somebody's attention with that right there. In Joshua chapter 4, at verse number 2, he makes this statement, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man." Choose you 12 men. That's what the command of God came to Joshua. Take 12 men, one out of each tribe. And what are you to do with that? Well, 12 represents a number of so many numbers in the Bible. There's uniqueness about every number. God just doesn't pick one out of the hat. He has it. He's designed this way. 12 represented all of God's people, all of the nation of Israel, one out of every tribe. The 12 tribes of Israel, that's what it was. And they were to take a stone out of the River Jordan. As the priest stood at the very brink of going into the River Jordan, God dried up the river, put a wall up, and there were stones there. And they were, one out of every tribe were to take a stone. And it wasn't, "Oh, let me get a pebble over here." No, get a stone, a real stone. And they did. And what was that stone used for? Each stone was to become a monument. It was to be put together to make a monument to God's mighty acts. And he did. All the things he did, they were to remember what God had done for them. And not just for the historians to remember. It wasn't for Josephus to write it down. It wasn't for stuff that we read out of some far old dusty manual that you've got somewhere stuck away. It was to say that everybody, from the youngest to the oldest, to the eldest, everyone be a member of God's family. And everyone to listen and to remember. They were called into remembrance of his mighty acts. That's what it means to be inclusive. We are to teach them. That's my job, to teach those that were younger. And to remind those of us that get a little bit older and forget that this is what God requires. That inclusively we remember the Lord. But not only inclusively, we need to do it conspicuously. They took the 12 stones and they made them into a monument, all 12 of them, and they put it at Gilgal. If you don't know the geography of the Holy Lands, then you may not know where Gilgal is. But it's between Jordan and Jericho. And halfway in between is Gilgal. If that doesn't help you, go get a book. All right? I don't have time to draw you a picture today. But they took those 12 stones and they built a monument in a very conspicuous place, a place where everybody would see it. And you could see the fear that was coming upon the children that lived at Amorites and Perizzites. All of these other nations, they began to fear because it was not a secret. We are coming to claim God's land. That's what we came for. We need to do the same. You don't need to hide that you're a Christian. You don't need to make it so with, "Well, I got a bumper sticker." Oh boy, that tells me a lot. I got a bumper. Honk if you love Jesus. Okay. Where's Terrence? Is he? Oh, he's hiding up there. Don't run into him if they got a bumper sticker, Terrence. You knew it was coming. You knew I was going to do it. I couldn't help myself. Make it for everybody to see. Don't make it something, "Oh, are you a Christian?" Why should that ever be a question? They ought to know. People ought to, by the very smile on your face, the joy in your heart ought to come out, and people ought to know that. Who you are, what you believe in. So you do it conspicuously. Inclusively, conspicuously, and the one I really, really enjoy, God's people need to make it vivid. The vividness of what God is looking for. Look at verse number 2. He says, "You take you those 12 men out of every tribe." I want one man representing every one of them. They did it with vividness. He told them, "Tell the story. Tell it over again. Make it." That's the way the children of Israel did things. Yes, I know Moses wrote the Pentateuch. I got that part. But that Pentateuch didn't come alive unless families talked about it. unless they told the stories over and over. You know, I've heard stories told in my family so many times that I thought I was there. I wasn't even born. But it was a great story. In fact, I know one brother of mine that swears that he remembers the ride to the hospital to be born. He's a little unique, I promise you. He's even more unique than I am. But in verse 23 of that same chapter, he makes this statement to us. For the Lord your God dried up the rivers of Jordan from before you until ye passed over as the Lord your God did it to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That's exactly what God did at the Jordan. He pushed back the waters. He dried up the land. All the children, millions, marched across that Jordan River right there. They didn't take a pontoon. They didn't swim. They walked over dry land. And when they were over into Canaan land, he let the waters come back. Why would he do that? So you can't retreat. That's right. There wasn't any way back. They went to flood stage immediately. All that water had been building up. And when it happened, flood stage came. Nobody was going to go back. They were going to go on for God. I don't know what kind of imagination you have, but I got a great one. I mean, I can just be there. I can see it. I can envision everything that God did. And what how incredible it was. That is what we need to continue to do as we talk about God, as we talk about the history of the church, as we talk about what the Lord has provided for us. We need to create that present power of his presence. It's God's past, but it's our present. It's what he has done and what he will continue to do. These are his acts. That's what he means by this is the way you ought to remember. But not only the way that we ought to remember, maybe we need to know about, God prescribes to each one of us the reason. I don't know if you were a kid like I was. Probably not. You're probably a whole lot better than I was. But you go, why? But why? But why? You didn't. I got a few knots on the back of my head for saying that too many times, I'm sure. But why? It was always why. You know, you always want to know. I'm going to give you the reason this morning. I'm going to give you the reason that we ought to remember the very things that God does. The first one is the purpose of instruction, that we are to receive the instruction of God. We need to tell every generation the stories. We need to remind them of the Bible story. That's what we do in children's church. That's what we do in Sunday school. We remind them these are the things that happened, and God anointed those things to happen. If you look at verse number 6, this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? You got an answer. This is what God did. This is what he wanted to do. That is what a true picture of what God has done for us. And it's also the true picture, as we watched earlier, the sacrifices that have been made for our country. I'm not ashamed of that flag. I'm not ashamed to display it. I'm not ashamed to sing about it. I'm not ashamed of any bit of that. Because I believe this is what God has allowed us to have. Or we wouldn't know the freedom that we do have. I wouldn't have this privilege. But I'm taking advantage of it right here. For the cause of freedom, people have sacrificed. Men and women both have given their lives for us. The problem I can see with that is that our society, by and large, they suffer from rootlessness. There's no foundation. We think we're making history every moment, and we're forgetting the past. We're forgetting how we got to where we are. We're forgetting on what foundation we stand today and who built that foundation, who provided it for us, who came before me to make this possible, and who will follow me after I'm long gone. I hope we have built a strong foundation for our church, for our families, for everything that we call wonderful. We dare not suffer from rootlessness. We need to talk about our families. We need to talk about the history of this church. We need to let Cornerstone know that this is what took place. Because if we don't, we won't be here. We will pass away as many churches unfortunately have today. They've gone by the wayside. It's not about your leader, people. It's not about the pastor. It's about you. You're God's children. And if I recall what he said, that you are the inheritance. You are the ones that he loves and spends his heart upon. We cannot fall to the curse that's coming our way. Because no longer people believe in the great stories of heroism. They don't believe in the things that have taken place through the years. The World War IIs and the Vietnam War, Korea. All the things that have happened even in our lifetimes that many of us have experienced. They don't believe in any of those things. And unfortunately, we have those that sit in higher academia today. And they teach things contrary to it. Not only to teach contrary to what took place in America, but to teach it contrary to the Word of God. In disparaging language, discrediting what God's Word has to say, their message is being passed along and infiltrating our young people every day. And that's why families need to more and more stand up and say, this is God's Word. But what happens to us? Well, we're just too busy. Some of them are too busy finding discrepancies in this word. Well, you know, that gospel doesn't match up to this one. That story doesn't match up to this one. And that one doesn't match. Right. We studied Mark in our men's Bible study. And it happened to be on the feeding of 4,000. Well, that's the same one as the feeding of the 5,000. No, it was not. Because you can read three verses past, and he said this was so much like how he fed the 5,000. Okay, they don't believe it. Walter, you'll have to find that for them. Okay, get that up for them. Mark chapter 9, I think is what it was. 8 or 9. But this is what we do. It's left up to you, it's left up to me to find these things, to do this. This is what God has pledged to us. That's my responsibility. But so many are too busy making a mockery. They're making a mockery of that flag. They're making a mockery of the things that you saw. They're saying to the world that the ultimate sacrifices that we're celebrating today on this Memorial Weekend by men and women in time of war, what is it? Oh, it's nothing but a bunch of warmongers. I think it's freedom fighters. I think it's those that have given something and sacrificed for somebody else's good. Are we perfect people? Are you kidding me? We are no way perfect people. But just as God's actions brought to the hearts of their enemies great fear, so have the actions, even though sometimes misguided, even though sometimes they were fraught. America has done that to the world in many, many ways. They have stepped up when others didn't think they would step up. And sometimes I fear today that we will never step up again. And I think that's a sad thing. In the next chapter, in the 5th chapter of Joshua, verse number 1, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore, because the children of Israel. It was because the children's God. It was because of Israel's God that they were afraid. And our flawed attempts many times to rescue a nation, to help them defend themselves because they weren't able to. Yes, it's been fraught with mess ups. Of course it has. But it doesn't lessen the very fact that those enemies were dissuaded to even think about taking on America. But that's what we've had all my lifetime, and I am privileged to be part in that. We need to celebrate what God has done in our past. We need to celebrate it that the opponents of God's kingdom will step back for a moment and realize our God's a great God. He is a wondrous God. And the purpose of instruction is to let us know that we need to remember this. Did you find it?
Chapter 8.
Okay, you got the reference? Read it on your time, not on mine. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Do not look at it right now. Sounded good at the moment, went through my head, and I just had to say it. But there's a purpose in these things. There's a purpose that every one of us have, and it's called instruction. But then after instruction, there's the purpose of commemoration. And that's what we do on Memorial Day. We remember the acts that God intervened for each one of us, the preservation that he has gave to America as he gave to his own people in Israel. He did these things. What he did for them, he's still doing for us. And it's something that we could never have done for ourselves. Look at our might. We have no might outside of God. We don't have anything if God did not allow it to take place. It's ordained of him or it's not done because we have no strength in and of ourselves. But time and time again, he has sustained us as he sustained them. He took them out of Egypt, brought them to the point of entering in. They would not enter in 40 years until all the old heads died off before they could come to this place in Joshua chapter 4. But God sustained his nation. And through his sovereign grace, he still does that today for us. He still makes our nation. And we work and we should do on behalf of the very things he's told us to do. There is a purpose, yes. That purpose includes instruction. That purpose includes commemoration. But the last thing that it brings, it's an affirmation. An affirmation of what the future is going to bring. We need to know what God is planning for us. So if you're missing out on it, I teach a class in Revelation right here. You can come get in on that and enjoy it. But the monument of stones were placed where everybody could see them. And the hearts of the Amorites trembled. The Canaanites trembled. They gave it up because they knew the power of God. Midway in between, halfway between the Jordan and Jericho, Gilgal, that's where it was. It was a place of memory, halfway between God's mighty deliverance and what he was going to do in the future. How he was going to face the challenge that those children of Israel saw in going to Jericho. It was unknown how it would happen, but God had a leader called Joshua. He said, this is what I want you to do. March around those folks and then blow the trumpets and away we go. I could have got you a job with them, Larry, if you'd just been there. You see, that's what God does. It's the God who delivered at Jordan was the same God that would deliver at Jericho. It's the way God chose to do that. The monument that they made with those stones out of that river, right where the priest stood, was a monument that said, no retreat. We're not going back. He's the same God on the east side of Jordan as he was on the west side. He's the same God that opened the river, same God that closed that river. The same one that does it. And that's the ultimate meaning for memorials. The memorial was called to advance those people to the future. We need that same thing today. We don't have a George Patton. We don't have one of those. A General MacArthur. We don't have Omar Bradley. We don't have those kind of men, hardly at all. At least the ones we don't hear about them. We don't get to hear about them. They're overshadowed because we haven't had a call for them to get to it. But if that call comes, I'm sure there are men like that that will rise up, and women will rise up and take on whatever challenge God has allowed to come our way. This is what God does. This is how he does it right here. He says that you can't retreat. All we're doing is going to go forward. This church cannot retreat. All it can do is go forward. You know, it's wonderful. Pause for a moment to remember the great things of the past. That's fine. I have no problem with you remembering those kind of things. I just have a problem when you sit on it. I have a problem when you languish in it. When we sit back and say, well, that's all God's going to do. I know that's wrong. I know that God is going to do something great. You see, what does God have in store for us? That ought to be a question we ought to answer in our hearts. What does God want me to do? What part do we get to play in the future vision of this church, of Cornerstone, of Christianity? Do you want to be just a footnote? You were here and gone, went on to something else? Or do you want to be part of something that made God proud of what we did? Yes, God can be proud. It's no problem with that one. He can be happy with what his children does. I want to be one of God's vessels. I want to be one of those chosen ones that is being used to allow him to get the victory, to allow him to get all the glory, to get all the joy, to help build his kingdom. He said, I'm going to build my church. Well, I want to be along just to, you know, go get him a nail or something. Go carry a board. Or go do whatever he asked me to do. I don't want to be a bystander. And I don't think this church is made for people that just want to be bystanders. The demand is laid out. We have to stop and remember. Great things have been done in our past because people got with it. We wouldn't have a great memory of Cornerstone if it were not for those that worked hard to get it there. And we need to be those same people that pick up the banner. We need to get the mantle and put it on our shoulders as God has chosen each one of us. So stop to remember a little bit today how great God is. But I'm telling you right now, don't get too comfortable. Because I'll get you uncomfortable. Right? Okay. I haven't come back down the aisle and preached to anybody recently, but I haven't forgot how. God has blessed us with a great blessing. The stories of Joshua chapter 4 are incredible. They're wonderful. They're everything that we expect God to do with us. But we can never forget what God has already done. We can never afford to ever step back from that. I can't let this world be marked by movements that burn and pillage our nation. I won't be marked by tearing down incredible statues of great people and putting up nonsense in its place. And I believe it to be nonsense. I will stand always to say, history has a great lesson to teach us, whether it's American history, the history of Texas, or the history that God wrote for each one of us. We cannot forget. We dare not forget. Because as they say, if you forget it, you'll repeat it. Let's not be those who repeat something bad. Let's repeat the very essence of what was good. For God's sake, for our sakes. Let's pray. Father, the word is so clear today. You made it clear that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, how mighty you were and how mighty you are today, that we stand as your children. We walk in the strength of your presence. We hear your voice and it encourages our hearts. You make those of other churches around our nation, those in our own community, I pray for their strength today. I pray, God, that you will encourage their pastors, their leaders, to stand fast in the faith, to lay it out before the people that we're not going back. We're only going forward to a bright future that you have provided for us. So blessings upon those churches out there today, those men and women that are ministering your word. And I pray your blessings on these that have gathered here today. May our hearts be filled with the joy that you have done something great in our lifetime. May we focus on that. The great events, the powerful events that you have allowed us to be part of and have taken place in this nation. May we not forget those things. And may this Memorial Day be truly what it's supposed to be. More than a picnic, more than a big race, more than what we could ever dream that would bring honor and glory to you. I praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.